Blessed are
Jesus
those
had a way
women,
of saying
for they shall be comforted.
Grab people's attention. He came out with statements that went against the grain of the way most people were thinking, particularly the religious leaders of his day. He said things that were controversial and insightful. But the more you think about them, the more they seem to make sense in a sort of upside-down sort of way. We're looking at some of Jesus' sayings from his most famous talk. We call it the Sermon on the Mount because he was speaking from a hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and he was painting a picture for his followers of what it's like to live in God's kingdom, that is, to live under God's rule. We can read this talk he gave in Matthew chapter 5 to 7. Last week, we learned how a person would be poor in spirit. Today, we're learning about another quality that Jesus valued. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessing is a strange word. What does it mean? Well, it doesn't mean happy. Happiness is rarely promised in the Bible. And to say, happy are those who mourn, is a bit like saying, happy are those who are sad. It makes no sense at all. Perhaps we should say, God blesses those who mourn, or God's blessing rests on those who mourn. But we've still got this strange word, bless, to deal with, which can simply mean to speak well of. So David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So what does Jesus mean? I think he means that God's favour is on those who mourn, even though they probably don't feel at all blessed at the time. God speaks approvingly of them. He esteems them highly, irrespective of what they might be feeling. So God's approval is on those who are mourning, for they shall indeed be comforted by God. We mourn the death of loved ones, but can we mourn without experiencing loss and bereavement? Indeed, we can. We can grieve over individuals and situations which are far from what God wants for them, just as Jesus did. With the Spirit, we can groan in intercession and cry out where we sense things are far from the way God wants them to be, just as Jesus did. One practical way we can express this is in prayer. Prayer is an opportunity to partner with the Spirit against the enemy to bring about God's will here on earth as it is in heaven. What we're experiencing in this country and around the world in recent months is causing many people to mourn and also causing many to turn to prayer and act in ways perhaps they haven't done before. When we do so, we are drawing closer to God and sharing his heart of compassion. Now, Matthew chapter 5 lists 8 beatitudes, 8 beautiful attitudes, 8 qualities that reflect the heart of Jesus' follower. We might wish to dissect and analyse them, picking them apart and putting them under a microscope, so to speak. But really, these beatitudes belong together. They belong to one person and are perfectly seen in the life of Jesus Christ. So like each of the other 7 beatitudes, this one reflects Jesus' own heart and nature, which he wants to instil in his followers. We'll take a look more closely at that in a few minutes' time.
Jesus mourned the death of his cousin John, who was executed by Herod. He wept over the death of his friend Lazarus. He grieved over how the people of Jerusalem had rejected God's purposes. He shared the laments of the psalmists that they spoke about injustice, pain and suffering in the world. As Isaiah had prophesied, Jesus would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. How often he must have grieved as he saw disease and death and the hardness of people's hearts and the evil they do. He was sorrowful even to the point of death in Gethsemane. Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. He still weeps with those who weep. He mourns with those who are mourning today over the loss of loved ones. He grieves with countless others around the world who are suffering. Blessed is Jesus who mourns. Blessed is he who mourns, for he shall be comforted. In that famous prophecy of Isaiah, written over 700 years before Jesus came to earth, he described how the Messiah would see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Or as a modern translation puts it, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Nothing will have been in vain. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus would perfectly accomplish God's will. He will be comforted by what his death achieved. Jesus, who suffered for us and now suffered with us, is comforted himself and is able to comfort others. To each of us personally, he is the God of all comfort, able to comfort us in all our troubles, so that, as Paul writes, we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. As there was mourning and comfort for Jesus, so he said there would be for the oppressed people of God in his day. This is no less true of persecuted believers, the suffering church, those who share our faith but not our freedom. And one day, mourning will be no more. As an old song puts it, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The last book of the Bible puts it like this. Look, God's dwelling is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.